Hello, everyone. Welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. Let me leave you with the theme song for just a minute while I get us connected with our guest. Be right back. Hello, Carl Thornton Jr. Hey, Mark Nagle, how you doing? No complaints. Life is good. Life is good. Good to be back with you, too. Man, I tell you what, it's been too long. My apologies. I appreciate you. So, how long are you with me today? Roughly, I'd say about, it really depends. First one's usually going to be about 15 minutes, then about 10 minutes, and then the last two, roughly 8 minutes each. Sure. All right. Okay. Yeah, you're real good. Okay, yeah. All right. Good enough. Yeah, you're sounding good. So what we'll do is I'll start, when we get ready to go to that first break, I just start playing some music. Well, each break, because I'm going to take us to a second break, and we'll just be cutting off at that point. But each time, I just play some instrumental music in the background, and that'll be your cue that in roughly 30 seconds we'll be going to break. Okay, taking us live. All right, everyone. I hope that you were enjoying the music, and we are back, and as I mentioned, I have gotten us connected with our guest, yours and mine, Dr. Mark Nagle. Many of you have heard him before when he has joined me to talk about sports, and I'm telling you, he is a sports expert. Dr. Nagle is professor at the University of South Carolina, the original USC, where he is in the Department of Sports and Entertainment, Sports Management, and Dr. Nagle, it is so good to have you back with us. How has the new year started out for you so far?
Oh, it's been good. I'm not a big fan of the super cold weather, so today with being a little bit nicer is more my winter speed. So, but it's been overall pretty good.
I got to say, I'm with you 100%. I've never been a fan of the cold weather, and so, you know, if we have weather that feels like it feels today all winter, I wouldn't complain.
Yeah, I do feel a little bad, though, sometimes, because we're complaining about it being 30, and there are places in the country where it's negative 10, so I guess yes, we can't complain too much.
That's right. Don't have to deal with the negative 10s. Well, for the benefit, Dr. Nagle, of some of the people who are listening now, but they have never been with us when we've had previous discussions, would you share more about your passion for sports and your career in sports?
Oh, I've always, ever since I was a little kid, I enjoyed playing sports, and I also liked watching, and probably what was unique is I really liked reading about sports. And so, through a roundabout way, my career progression is a rather interesting one, but started out primarily working in college basketball as a coach. I was a men's basketball coach and a women's basketball coach at the University of San Francisco, an assistant coach. And from there, kind of morphed into working in facility management. While I was getting my master's degree, started doing some teaching, had a teaching credential, and then realized that I could actually teach about sports and do research about sports. So I went to get my PhD in sport management and kind of transitioned from the real world of being a practitioner into an academic world where I get to be teacher and researcher and consultant and do a little bit of everything. So it's been kind of an interesting career path. The University of South Carolina for 11 years and enjoy teaching students and figuring things out and how to make the industry function better.
That's awesome. And when you were coaching at the University of San Francisco, is that where you were when you helped to take the ladies to their championships, their conference championships?
Yeah, so we had, it's always great as a coach if you can time your time when you have really good players. So I was at the University of San Francisco with the women's basketball team for 3 years, and we won the West Coast Conference Championship tournament 3 years in a row. And so we also then were in the NCAA tournament 3 years in a row. And one of the years, in fact, we were in 1996, we were the lowest seeded team to ever go to the Sweet 16. So had the great fortune of participating in the NCAA women's basketball tournament and seeing how that operates and playing some of the great teams and coaches over a three-year stretch in women's basketball. So I actually remember we coached in 1996 in Chicago in the Sweet 16 against Connecticut, and at that point they had only won, Gino Auriemma had only won one NCAA championship. So I can remember back when he was somewhat mortal and used to lose more than a game or two a season.
Yes, those days are long behind him, huh?
Well, absolutely.
I tell you what, Dr. Nagel, it's just fascinating to me that your sports career has covered so many aspects of sports. And while we're on that, I know that there are a lot of people listening. We have young people who listen and people who are interested in young people, whether as their parents or as their grandparents, as their godparents, you name it. I was wondering if you could just share with us just some of the career options for people who are interested in sports but may never end up on the field or on the court.
I think most people, when they think of sport management, they think of working as an athletic director at an SEC or an ACC type school, or as a general manager for a professional, you know, Major League Baseball team, NBA, NFL, and so forth, or they think of being Jerry Maguire. And those are things that are out there, but our industry is so much more and so much more dynamic. Working in facilities, running events, working in PR, working in sport marketing. There is a whole number of different things that our industry entails, and I always encourage young people, if they have an interest, you know, get involved as soon as you can. Even in year of college or even in high school, if you can go volunteer and see how does a game operations staff function, how does a marketing staff put together an event. If you're interested in security and operations, get involved in that. Our industry is extremely dynamic and very, very diverse, and understanding that, I think, is one of the most important things to having a career in this field, because I think a lot of people just think, oh, well, you go work in the athletic department or you go work for the Panthers. And there are certainly great opportunities there, but that's just a small fraction of all of the different things that you could do in our industry.
That's something that is truly worth exploring, and not just thinking about what comes to mind offhand, but just to truly explore the options.
I think the more you can do it early, and you can always, you know, the best day to start a diet or the best day to start saving and investing is today. I think you can always start in our industry whenever you can. But the more you can do it early, I think the better off you can be, because you can kind of figure out and get a chance to experience even just professional sports. There's all the different types of sports, and there's all the different types of levels. So. It doesn't necessarily have to be for an NFL team. It could be for a minor league baseball team or for a major league lacrosse team or something like that. There's just a lot of different opportunities out there.
That's such an excellent point, because even in the minor leagues, you have, I'm not saying that this is something that's going to be a wave of the future. You know more, so much more about this than I do, but it seems like we have more people who are interested in pouring money into the minor leagues, whether it's football, basketball, they're willing to put money into it.
Yeah, because I think there's a fan base there. I think as SEC football, as NFL, NBA, and so forth has become more and more expensive and has started to cater more and more in their venues to the high-end fan. NFL tickets now in many cases are, you know, $50, $75, $100, maybe even more for just one ticket. And so it becomes very, very cost prohibitive for a number of people that are interested in attending a game or a lot of games. And if you flip that around and look at what the Columbia Fireflies here in town, our minor league baseball team, you know, you can take your family for $20 and get four tickets. Wow. Isn't quite the same experience, but it's still a great experience. Mm-hmm. And you can see a fun product that has a lot of appeal to people. So I think there's different niches for different sport and entertainment products, and it's figuring out which one the customer may be able to have an interest in and afford is a big part of our industry as well.
Gotcha. Well, you were mentioning briefly football. That's one of the areas where, you know, folks can spend a bit of money. We can talk about how much money was spent, not on the professional level. Let's talk the college level. as soon as I play this clip, Dr. Nagel, of our recent game that I'm sure had folks captivated on the edges of their seats, the Alabama-Georgia game. Here we go, everyone.
The two on their side. I took a shot downfield.
Kid made a hell of a throw.
Tagovailoa trying to make up for it. Fires to the end zone. Touchdown! Alabama wins!
Touchdown!
Touchdown! Alabama! Devontae Smith!
Hey, Tagovailoa going downfield. He's got a man open. Oh, my God. Touchdown. Alabama has won it.
The dogs are heartbroken.
What a play. Dr. Nagel, I got to tell you, that was one of the most fascinating outcomes, results, ends of the game. I was sharing with you that one of the things that really, really amazes me, I got to take my hat off to Coach Saban, the fact that he was willing, in fact, said, this is what needs to happen. I need to put in my freshman quarterback. The team, Alabama, was down, was it 13-0 when the freshman
went in? I think it was sometimes you're down 13-0 and or you're down 13 points and you feel like, well, you know, we played okay. I think Saban looked at his offense and thought we really have done nothing. And so, you know, we have a good young player who's inexperienced and hasn't done much at all the entire year, but we're probably going to lose if we keep on the same path, and let's make a change and see what happens. And you know, that's one of the things about Alabama. A lot of SEC teams have depth, but Alabama has amazing depth that they can pull a kid who was playing in high school last year off the bench and put him in the national championship game, and he can do just enough to lead him to a title in the second half and overtime. It's amazing.
Yes, sir. So that's fascinating. You said he really hadn't done much throughout the year. So for all practical purposes, he hadn't really proven himself, per se, before being put into that championship game?
When you have a good team and you have a good quarterback, Alabama does, most of the games that Alabama played, Jalen Hurts is going to stay in the game. And when it gets to the point that they're up enough points late in the game, certainly they put their bench players in, but you're not typically going to, if you're up 28 or 35 points in the fourth quarter, put your backups in and start throwing 30-yard out patterns. You know, because it's part of it's just get the game over with. So when you talk about meaningful snaps, certainly the Alabama quarterbacks take a lot of them every day in practice, but there's never really, you don't know exactly what someone's going to do and in a pressure cooker situation until you actually put them on the field, live competition where it does matter. And you know, there's a big difference between playing in the national championship game down a few points against a live defense versus being in the fourth quarter and your team's up 35, and if you make a mistake, it's no big deal. The game's already won. So it was amazing that the freshman was able to respond that way. And the rest of the team a lot better, too. So there's a lot of credit to be given to the Alabama offense to reacting to the situation and playing a lot better in the second half. It was certainly not just one player changing the situation around. It was a lot of players playing a lot better with the freshman quarterback being the linchpin, obviously.
And isn't that something that Coach Saban said, we need somebody fresh in here to spark some life into the rest of the offense?
Yeah, and I think what he really wanted was to just see a different wrinkle. You know, Jalen Hurts has been a really good player, but he's not a prolific passer. He's more of a control of the game. I mean, he made a few nice plays in the first half with his feet. But it was getting to the point where Georgia's defense is really, 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 really solid, and we're going to have to throw. We can't be one-dimensional. I think that was part of what spurred the thought process, too, is that we have to go to someone who's maybe a little bit more dynamic as a thrower and to see if that can change the outcome.
The freshman took a few hits. The offense definitely stepped up, but they're not perfect. And so he took a few hits, but he stayed right in the game. He didn't let those hits throw him off his game.
Yeah, I think the other thing that's kind of lost in this is that Alabama defense played spectacularly the entire game. I mean, it's kind of hard when you go in at halftime and you're down 13-0 and you say, well, your defense is playing great. I mean, the offense for Alabama literally did nothing the entire first half, and the Alabama defense played exceptionally well, only giving up that one touchdown. And so Georgia has a freshman quarterback, too, who's pretty good, and they have a number of great players and very, very offense. So sometimes get for too little, depending on if they win or they lose. And certainly the Alabama freshman quarterback deserves a ton of credit, but there's a lot of other players on that Alabama offense and defense that really played well the entire game and really ratcheted things up in the second half on their comeback.
You mentioned the fact that there are other people on that offense and the defense who helped Alabama win. Certainly on the offensive side, one of the other people who helped them win was the freshman receiver who caught that winning pass.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that's interesting about Alabama. And Georgia has a few freshmen who are playing as well, but Alabama has always had confidence in putting freshman players in. If the best player on their roster is at a position is a freshman, Coach Saban and his staff have never mind or never worried about being their best players. And I think that's a testament to them as well, because a lot of teams, when you look at true freshmen, particularly not even redshirt freshmen, you know, they're a year removed from high school, and if they're playing meaningful minutes in an SEC or a playoff game, that's a pretty big accomplishment.
When we come back, whether we're talking about Alabama, Georgia, or any number of other teams, could we take a look at what really helps a freshman play at the level that helps them accomplish the kinds of things that are accomplished by the freshmen at Georgia, the freshmen at Alabama and other teams?
Certainly.
All right, everyone, our guest, yours and mine, is Dr. Mark Nagel. He and I'll be back in just a few.